Good morning. One more time. Good morning. That's better. Well, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you to our worship service here at South Haven, where in a moment we're going to lift our hearts and our voices in worship to the one true God. Amen. Before we do that, I have a few announcements that I'd like to share with you. The first one is our Discover South Haven class is coming up. This is our membership class, and this is where we can get to know about South Haven and what we're all about. And if you're thinking about joining, this is the place you need to go to. Those details are here in the bulletin. The other thing that I want to draw your attention to is the marriage conference. Our staff and their spouses put on a marriage conference a while back, and it was very well received, and it was a blessing, and we're going to do that again. So in there, it talks about Cherish. They're going to come on February 24th. So if you've been married a day, a month, a year, 50 years, 60 years, whatever it is, this is for you. So come and listen to our pastors and their spouses as they talk about bringing Cherish into our marriage. Okay. As I said, I wanted to put a special welcome to our guests. If you are here, whether you're here online with us as a guest or you're here in person, we want to get to know you. So in your bulletin, there's a connect card. If you're online, there's a QR code that you can go to and fill out, give us some information. And if you're here physically, if you'll drop that off to the pastor out here at the meet and greet area, they'd like to get to know you. They'll be in contact with you. Also, another reason it's called a connect card is this is a great way for our members to stay connected to their pastoral staff. If you have a prayer request, if you have a comment, if you just need to speak to somebody, fill that out, give it to one of the pastors, drop it off at the meet and greet, and somebody will be in contact with you. Okay. The last thing I want to do before I pray is, many of you know that my mother passed away a month ago, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to express my sincere gratitude and thank you to my church family for the prayers and the thoughts and the cards and the kind words that you shared with me. Losing a mother is tough on a son, but I know where she is, and your thoughts and prayers and kind words have helped me through that and will continue to help me through that. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, we come to you and we lift our hearts to you, Father, and we just give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our ears to the message in song and in word that you have for us today. You brought us here for a reason, Father, and for that we thank you and we give you all the honor, for it's in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. If you ever want to know why we have the body of Christ, it's moments like that. You know, many people in this congregation reached out to Kevin and Sherry, and we love one another. We care for one another. We pray for one another. That's one of the great powers of this gathering. And why we do this every week is that, yes, we are to share the love of Christ outside these walls, of course. But inside, we have incredible opportunities to encourage one another and build each other up. All right? Let's stand together. We are here to worship. I bet there's not too many contemporary services that start with Beethoven, but we're going to be the one today. All right? How about we sing a little Beethoven? Maybe not the same way he did it, but anyway. All right, here we go. Sing it out.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord above. Our sun full, thy God before thee, holding to the sun above. The sun above, the sun above, the sun above, Jesus, you are my refuge. Jesus, you are my rescue. I give you everything I am. Jesus, you are my refuge. Jesus, you are my rescue. I give you everything I am. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are my refuge. Jesus, you are my rescue. I give you everything I am.
You are the one, Lord.
You are the one who saves. You are the one who saves. You are the one who saves. Lift up from the grave. You are the light of life. The everlasting day. You are the one.
Amen. What a great start. Let's continue.
Worthy of every song we can ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we can ever give. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We lift you up. We lift you up. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever stand. Worthy of every breath we can ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you, we live for you, we live for you. There is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever sing. You are worthy. Worthy of every breath we could ever sing. We lift you up. We lift you up. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one you could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
celebrate His faithfulness and to look back and say, God, You have always been faithful. Sing these great words with Emily this morning.
Thank you.
yesterday and today and tomorrow and the next day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so good. Every breath that I have taken, oh, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me to the fire, and in darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend, and I have in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Oh my God, all my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am faithful. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out of me. Goodness, your goodness is running out of me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running out of me. So all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am living, and I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing all my life.
Goodness in so many ways.
Father, even in the midst of times when things aren't good, we can look back and say, all of my life, you have been faithful. All of my life, you have been there. You have met me. You have dwelt within me, guided me, and you are leading me. Father, today we proclaim and we extol the very goodness of God that provides us with his very best, who calls us into a relationship, who provides eternity for us, who is the leader, guide, and master of our lives even today, and the director of everything that we do, Father. We are grateful that we can say, yes, there is goodness there, even today, Father, for some in the room, for some that are watching with us online. They are searching for some goodness today in their life. Father, may they take their eyes right now, take them off of a situation that may not be good, and put their eyes on a God who is always good, and be reminded that you are with them, you are walking with them, that you love them deeply. Father, we have a great God that we can go and before and ask great things. Father, we do that this morning. Father, for the brokenhearted this morning, that you would bind their wounds, we ask. Father, for those that are rather languishing and apathetic in their walk with you, we pray for passion for their lives. Father, for those that are known as a prodigal, that have walked away from you, we call for restoration and a homecoming. Father, we pray for blind eyes to be opened. We pray, Father, for sinners to repent. We pray for those that are hearing your voice, that pray that they are obedient in what they hear. We pray for a church and its revival. We pray for our hearts, Father, for sensitivity. We pray, Father, for eyes to see where you are active. We pray, Father, that you would reveal the direction and the way we should go in every aspect of life. Father, we choose this morning to gather in this place to hear your voice. Many have chosen this morning, Father, to find a device, find login information, click a button, hit a button, do something, Father, and they're streaming with us right now. Father, you have guided us here. You have provided us with a moment. We're here by divine appointment. We know you're speaking. May we not miss what you have to say. Now, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You're our rock. Great day to be in the Lord's house this morning. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Welcome back. For those of you that are our guests, welcome again. We're glad you're here. Thank you for finding us online, our YouTube channel, or with Facebook Live, or you're streaming with us some other way. We're glad that you're with us this morning as well, and it's just a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Ministry at South Haven is ramping up here early in our new year. Yesterday was our beginning of our upward season. Upward basketball and cheerleading. That's a faith-based ministry that we provide for community and for our church. And it's just seen a lot of fruitfulness in this, a lot of good things over the years. And we are so glad that we can provide that ministry. So our gymnasium was full yesterday, full of parents and full of kids and lots of competition and laughter and some good things. I don't know if you know this, if you've never been to any of our upward events or things like that, but you know, the staff, we give devotions during the halftimes of all those games. And so we do that regularly and just bring about a 3 or 4 minute little talk there to families and things. Actually, Pastor Scott did it yesterday. He was telling me that he was asking those that are early yesterday morning, how many of them, this was your first time to connect with Upward with South Haven? And he said probably about 40% of the families raised their hands. And so what does that tell us? It just tells us this over and over again. We have a ministry that continues just to reach into our community and allows people to experience the love of God. And we do that through sports. So sometimes you think, wow, through a sports ministry. But all of a sudden, we had about 40% of the families here yesterday that had never connected with our Upward ministry. And so that is a great ministry to our community. It reminds us of our responsibility to continue to provide ways for people to just discover here the hope of Jesus Christ. That's what it was about yesterday. That's what we do here at South Haven. We're about inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. We do that through basketball. We do that through cheerleading. We do that through Sunday morning, VBS, whatever we do. But here's what I want you to know. Though you may have never been to one of our upward ministries, though you don't know what's going on and what that's all about, really, you have a part on that. You have a part when you give. Upward ministry is a part of our budget. And I just want to say thank you for your continued financial support that we get to fund ministries like Upward Sports so that we can reach into our community and share the hope of Christ. Please continue to give. And please continue to stay connected to your church. The exits are boxes that are located there for you to give. And also southhavenchurch.org/give. Many choose to give that way. Amy and I do that as well. And then our Elevate offering, which we are taking care of some Jerusalem needs. There is an information book out at the information desk. If you've never really understood what Elevate is about, read up on that. Understand what we're trying to accomplish here in our Jerusalem in order to serve our community and God's people in a great and excellent way. What an exciting story is the life of Elijah. Some of you have done Bible studies on Elijah, and so this is good and hopefully refreshing. Some of you may not know much about Elijah, and hopefully we're discovering some really good nuggets as the practical life of a man who James says, in James chapter 5, he describes Elijah. See, Elijah makes it into the New Testament a lot, and he said he's a man or a human just like you and me. He's just a normal guy. God chose to use him in an extraordinary way. We introduced Elijah last week as he kind of comes onto the scene. It's rather abrupt. He comes onto the scene, no introduction, no fanfare, nothing. We don't know anything about him. All of a sudden, he's introduced. And here, it's unusual that a man that has no significant background that we're aware of steps into the Old Testament, steps into our world, and has a profound message. And the first message he speaks is a negative statement to a man named Ahab and his wife Jezebel about their Baal worship, who's the storm god. And Elijah proclaims, it's not going to rain until I tell you it's going to rain. What a statement. And then God says, all right, you're out of here, Elijah, for a season. I've got something else for you to do. That's a little bit of Elijah. That's where we've been these last few weeks. And what we're going to find today, Elijah is that one who's faithful in a faithless society. We're going to find out today in his faithfulness that Elijah is faithful in obedience. He's an obeyer. What a word for us today about obedience. I don't know if you realized it or even kind of thought about it much, but think about it for a minute. And how is it that the smallest things in life can have the most significant impact? Think about it. Think about the last time you had a pebble in your shoe. It impacted the way you walk, doesn't it? How many of you have a toothache? Impacts how you chew, doesn't it? Think about this. Think about some of the small things that James says, the brother of Jesus. He talks about how there is a bit that goes in a horse's mouth that controls the horse. It's a small thing. He talks about how there is a rudder on a ship, very small compared to the ship, and it controls the whole ship. And then he comes and he starts meddling in our business. And he says, think about how small your tongue is. It's a small part of the body and how it does so much damage. Small things can make a significant impact. We find that not just with tangible things, but here's something that's a little bit more subjective, something that probably can't really put our arms around, our hands around, and that is our obedience. Have you ever considered how small acts of obedience can have a significant impact in your life? Actually, small acts of obedience can lead to so many different, can be so consequential, and so many other things happen in your life because that one act of obedience, that actually it can become one of the most significant moments in your life. Have you ever considered how something like obedience and obeying God in little areas can make such a significant in such big areas? One day, Jesus, as he starts his earthly ministry, he's walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's preaching. And as he's preaching, he's gathering a crowd. And as the crowd gets larger and larger, they begin to kind of press in on him, and he realizes, I've got so many people here that I'm trying to speak to, I cannot speak to them appropriately and get what I need to say across. And so what he sees, he looks on the shore and he sees two boats. And he walks over towards one of the boats and he steps in one of the boats, and then knowing that that one of the boat is Simon Peter, is Peter's boat, he looks at Peter and he says, "Hey, would you just take me out into the water a little bit?" Now, that's an easy request, okay? That's an easy thing for Peter to do. Sure, I'll do that. Peter rows Jesus out there. Jesus begins to teach from his boat to the crowd. After he's done, he does then something with Peter. He says something kind of unusual. Actually, I would believe to Peter's ears, it sounded really weird. Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, let's go on out a little bit further to the deeper water. Let's let down your nets and let's catch us some fish." Now, you can think about, here's Peter. Now, he had been fishing all night. Here is Peter. Peter is the expert fisherman. This is what he does for a living. And here he has a guy stepped into his boat, and he's acting like he's the expert fisherman. See, Peter in his mind is thinking, you only fish at night. You don't catch anything during the day. And here it is in the middle of the day, and Jesus wants to go try to catch some fish. So here, he's actually did a small act of obedience on getting out there. You could even say he obeyed again what he did. But now, all of a sudden, this sounds a little ludicrous for him to do this, but Peter agrees, and he says, "Listen, I've already fished all night. There's no fish to be had that we could find. At your command, though, at what you're saying, we're going to go ahead and do this." And he hauls in a great catch of fish. Small act of obedience. You know what it started with? "Peter, let's go out just a little bit so I can teach a little bit more." And as Peter did that, as Peter listened to Jesus' teaching, as Peter then said, "I will obey and throw my nets over and look," and they caught fish. All of a sudden, God looks at Peter and he says, "I want you to follow me." And quickly, just like this, over the years, was developed and a man with a heart for God, transformed by the power of Christ, used wonderfully for the Lord. It started with a small act of obedience. Have you ever thought how your small act of obedience can have such a significant impact in your life? I think this is what we learn from Elijah. Elijah has some small acts of obedience that we're going to learn from this morning. Faithful in a faithless society. He comes here, first act of obedience, coming to Ahab and actually his wife Jezebel, Baal worshippers, Baal the storm god, attacks the storm god right at the very crux of what Baal is supposed to do. He is the storm god. He's the god of water. It's not going to rain until I tell it you it's going to rain. It has all kinds of implications. Implications for the farmers, implications for taxes, implications for food. You can understand how this is a significant thing. Let's get into the text and see what we're seeing here this morning and what this means for us and about Elijah's obedience and what that has to teach us. In 1 Kings chapter 17 is our text this morning. We begin reading with verse 1, and then we're going to finish through verse 7. Verse 1, this is like a recap. It kind of sets the scene again. We need to know exactly what's going on. So Elijah the Tishbite from Gilead settlers said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, in whose presence I stand, there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command." So here it is. That's it. Elijah's on the scene, and all of a sudden God's got a different place, a different way of doing things. And God instructs Elijah, "You have done your job. You have been my spokesperson. I've got another plan. And now is immediately I'm going to implement the plan." That's what we pick up in verse 2. Listen to what he says in verse 2. "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah." I want you to leave here. Turn eastward. I want you to hide at the Wadi Kareth where it enters the Jordan. You're to drink from the Wadi. And I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. And so he proceeded to do what the Lord commanded. Elijah left, and he lived at the Wadi Kareth where it enters the Jordan. And the ravens kept bringing him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. And he would drink from the Wadi. And after a while, the Wadi dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Faithful. He asked no questions. "I've done my job. I've spoken to Ahab. What's next, God?" "Oh, let me tell you what's next. You're out of here. You're going to a place of hiding. You're going to get away from these enemies. They're going to probably put a put something, they're coming after you, basically. So let's look at some obedience steps that Elijah takes and see how they impact our lives as well. These are those small acts of obedience that we need to be aware of. And the first one that we find here in these first few verses, this first obedient truth for us, is that here's what we find. The consequences of our obedience are up to God. And this is what we're finding with Elijah. He declared the unpopular message, and then he is instructed to flee from his enemies and go into hiding. Now, you might think that God would reward a faithful servant like this. Like, wow, Elijah, you did exactly what I wanted. You took the hard word to the most evil person in the land. This is the king of Israel. This is not just some guy. This isn't just some shop owner or something like that. You have taken it to the king of Israel. And actually, he's going to go and tell his wife, who actually is running the show anyway. And this is a big deal. You would think at least God would kind of pat him on the back, send him a word, and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done it. Wow. Let me give you some reward. But all of a sudden, the reward looks differently. It's not what we would think. God says, I'm not going to do any of these things. I want you to withdraw. I want you to go into hiding. Listen to what Elijah did. Verse 5, Elijah proceeded to do what the Lord commanded. He did. He just said, okay, this is it. He obeyed. You know what he's doing? Elijah obeyed. And he left the consequences of his obedience up to God. That's a hard place to get to. And sometimes it's hard because I always see, don't we always see that my obedience, it always has to work out in some kind of tangible or some kind of good reward. If I obey, if I do what is right, I'm doing this, I get the pat on the back, I get rewarded. We want that. We're kind of programmed that way, that I'm going to be obedient, I'm doing what I'm saying, then I get whatever that's good. But that doesn't always happen when the Lord has a different way of looking things. He looks at our obedience, and he's always looking so far ahead, and he sees so much that we sometimes get confused in what God is doing. Elijah didn't know what God was up to when he obeyed. Elijah didn't know the rest of the story. We know the rest of the story. We know that there is an opportunity, there's something coming where he will stand before hundreds of Baal worshipers and prophets and all of a sudden call down fire from heaven. But Elijah doesn't know that's happening in his life. Elijah hasn't been given the advanced notice that these things are happening. Right now, he is given a message and he said, you're out of here, go do something else. Remember, the small acts of obedience can have the most significant impact. Here's what we could call this experience with Elijah at Kareth. Some have called it his training camp, boot camp, however you want to say it, but it's a season where God was preparing him for something else. It was a season where God was helping Elijah to trust him and to know him and to experience him. It is a season where Elijah is now totally dependent upon God. See, we bristle a little bit that our obedience may lead to a training camp. We bristle a little bit like, I was obedient, I did what I was supposed to do, and now it doesn't look like good things are happening in my life. However, we can't forget that God desires to use our obedience for something bigger and significant. Do you realize that the obedience that God calls us to obey in, whatever it may be, It's not the end. God's always moving towards something, because my act of obedience today means I'll have a bigger act of obedience coming for me sometime in my future. God is always wanting us to have trust and build confidence in his provision and having obedience. But here's what I can know, and here's what we can know. When we determine to obey the Lord and leave the consequences up to him, these things will always be true. There's some truths that we'll always experience. And the first truth is our obedience to God is never a losing situation, regardless of what may come out of that. You never lose when you obey the Lord. There is never a losing situation. Now, listen to what I didn't say. I didn't say you'll never experience difficulty or have to go to a training camp. I didn't say that. I was like, wow, this is kind of puts me in a dilemma here. I'm kind of like at a fork in the road. Well, I'm just saying that our steps of faith and steps of obedience towards the Lord are always a winning situation, and we're going to leave the consequences of what that looks like up to him, whether he wants to take us to training camp or just lavish us with some type of reward. That's going to be entirely up to him. John 14:23, Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my word. Basically, if you love me, you're going to obey me. That our love for the Lord and our obedience to Him are tied together. It's never a losing situation. Here's the second thing we find, is that our obedience to God is to experience God's best. Proverbs 16:20 tells us that God blesses those who obey Him. I never want to shut down or deny the experience of God's very best in my life. To obey Him is to get His very best. I don't know what that looks like for each one of us, but I always want to experience the very best of God. At this moment in Elijah's life, Kareth is the very best for God, of God. Isn't that sound unusual? He's alone. He's being depending on ravens to feed him daily. He doesn't know how long he'll be there. How long will he be there? Some believe he was up there 10 to 12 months. That's a long time. And then there's one more thing. If you're not discouraged yet on obeying the Lord, you might be after this one, but hear me out. Our obedience to God is to invite some spiritual warfare. Satan does not want you to obey the Lord. So basically, you say, now thank you for the out. Because why would I invite that kind of mess into my life anyway? I'm already pretty stressed out. I've got a lot going on in my life, a lot of things happening. I sure don't need Satan coming in there, appearing in my life and messing with me. Here, I would say this way. Here, let me say it in a different way that helps us to understand. Our obedience to God reminds us that the Christian life is a battleground and not a playground. That there is something significant happens when the child of God begins to move closer to the very presence of God, and we want to obey God. Listen, we are putting an evil one on notice. Why? Because he wants all of us in states of apathy and complacency and just to say, I'm just going to kind of hold back. I'm not going to obey God in some of these areas because I just don't want to stir some stuff up. Well, here it comes down to this. I just find that, wow, I would rather side and move towards God and allow him to help me to be empowered to overcome any evil influences in my life than me just kind of going it on my own and just saying, God, I'm not going to do that. I just want to move toward him and please God instead of pleasing the evil one. Yeah, we've got an evil one. Prowls around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. He already knows your weaknesses and your vulnerabilities and wants to come after you. But understand this, let's not let that deter us from obeying what God wants us to do. He has something he wants to do through us. I love how Charles Spurgeon has said it this way. He said, Satan never kicks a dead horse. Okay? So, you know, wow, think about that. He comes after. It's okay. Because the closer we get to the Lord, that's when we have Ephesians 6 in the armor of God. I choose obedience to the Lord and align my life with him and have Satan kick me that not to obey the presence and the ways of God and please the evil one. Who are we going to please? Our obedience to God. We obey and leave the consequences up to him. This is what Elijah did. He just said, I'm out. I'll go. Whatever you want me to do. I don't know what's going to happen. But listen to what else he did. There's a second level of obedience that goes on here. Not only do we leave the consequences up to God, but in our obedience, we understand this. Here's the second truth. When God directs, God provides. Now, God did this in a unique way. God directed, God provided. And the main thing here, he's by the Wadi Kareth, but then he provides his food in this unique way. He proceeded to do what the Lord commanded, Elijah did. And he left and he lived at the Wadi Kareth, where it enters the Jordan. Ravens kept bringing him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. And he would drink from the wadi. Just as God had provided manna for the Israelites as they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, all of a sudden God sends the necessary provisions for Elijah as he waited for God's next assignment. Two daily provisions. I wonder why he did two. You ever thought about two? He only provided for the children of Israel once a day. Here's providing for Elijah twice a day. God is literally preparing Elijah for Mount Carmel, where he would have to be absolutely confident that God's provision is coming at precisely the right time. And so you think about it, every day, 2 years, here they come, just like clockwork, here's my meal. You know what this is, don't you? Actually, this is it. This is the original DoorDash, in case you didn't know. This is like food coming right to you. You know what? It has a different name in the Bible when you think about it. It's not DoorDash. It's called feather food. There you go. That's what it is.
Here you are. Yeah.
Where's the drummer when you need one? Yeah, I'll tell you. I've got to plan that better. There, thanks. Whoever did it, there you go. God provides where He directs. If God's directing you, if God's calling, if God is speaking and He's calling you into obedience in an area, He provides. He doesn't set you up to fail. He provides. As you trust, as you walk, He provides. This became a significant thing in my family's life, Amy and I's, our lives in 2000 when we left Southwest Arkansas and took all of our worldly possessions 2,000 miles north to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and began pastoring a church there in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Now, what the significant thing was is that, not, you know, it took a little shot there. My church that I left to go pastor, I you know, usually you want to go in another direction. You will say, well, I had this size church. I'm going to go to a bigger church. No, it was half the size of the church, and it was about a third of the salary. Oh, and I was the only one with the work visa. Amy couldn't work. That sounds dumb. Who does that? Well, my mother-in-law thought we were dumb. She was really, she actually, if you leave the grandkids, y'all can go, but just leave the kids. That was our little, almost a conversation there. But here it is, God provide. God directed, God provided. It didn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense. I look back on it 23 years ago, and it still kind of boggles my mind that through all that whole process and our living there in this foreign country, making less money, that God was saying, see, I'm going to provide. I'm taking care of you. He took care of us. You know what? We bought a house. Who does that? That was crazy. We bought my first home was in another country. I'd never bought a house before. It's not like I had any equity. I didn't like I have one house I sold and went, nope, I had nothing. God provides where God directs. Abraham being told to take his son Isaac to go sacrifice him. That was a God provide, God directs. And where God directs, God's going to provide. Abraham immediately obeyed. It doesn't make sense. Scripture tells us that God was testing Abraham. He's testing his faith, testing his obedience. He gets Isaac to the place of the at the sacrifice. He begins to perform the sacrifice on his one and only son that he had prayed for all these years. And then all of a sudden, he's abruptly stopped because there's a provision in the thicket, and there's a ram caught in the thicket. God said, I'm providing. As you have went, and as I have directed, now I am providing. And all of a sudden, you know what Abraham calls that place? It has a name. He go through Scripture. There's these wonderful Hebrew names of God. This is one of them. And this is the name Jehovah Jireh. So as God had provided, all of a sudden Abraham stops and he goes, this place is Jehovah Jireh. You know what it means? The Lord has provided, or the Lord will provide. That's a beautiful name. Elijah and Abraham give us these two wonderful examples, stories of God providing and meeting needs as we obey Him. If you ever wondered and say, God, I sure want to unleash Your blessings on my life, then you obey Him. If you want to discover God as a provider, you have to obey Him. Because we have to understand that any delayed obedience is immediate to disobedience. And even some partial obedience is complete disobedience. We want to live in those gray areas. Sometimes it sounds like this. It sounds kind of some common words. I'll start tithing when I get a better job or get out of debt. I'll forgive that person, but they must first change their ways. I'll be committed to leading my family spiritually, but now it's inconvenient and it gets in the way of my lifestyle. You see, sometimes we can just bring up these excuses and they just sound good. They make a lot of, oh, this is logical, but again, they're partial or delayed obedience to what God has called us to be. You know, for us in a room here, we're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. If you have followed Christ and made Him your Lord and Savior, and you're trusting Him for your eternity, are you having difficulty trusting Him with your tomorrow? You've trusted Him with the most precious thing you have, and that's your eternal life. We can trust Him. If we do that, we can sure trust Him for our tomorrow. Where God directs, God provides. Elijah teaches us one more thing and we're done. He teaches us that the consequences of our obedience are up to God, and when He directs, He provides. And then lastly, our obedience, there's a third truth, is that details are often omitted. all we find is that the ravens had fed him up until this point. Verse 7, here's a little detail, and after a while, the wadi dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So twice a day, he's being fed. Throughout the day, he drinks from the wadi. I can imagine that each day Elijah observes the water dwindling and less until it's down to a trickle and there's no more. It's because of his statement to Ahab, there's a drought in the land, and his water supply has dwindled, and then one day, there is no water. I wonder just how many details, you know, Elijah had. I wondered if he really knew or even thought, you know, maybe the wadi won't dry up because God's going to provide for me and then he's going to move me on. But there's some details here. He doesn't know about the advanced plan. He doesn't know what's next. He hasn't told any details. He's just told, you go and this is what's going to happen. You're going to be fed. You're going to have something to drink. And that's all he knows. You know what? Don't you want to? I want more details than that. I wonder, I believe Elijah did too. He wasn't given any of that. It's human nature to want to know what's going on ahead of time. Because you know what I find is that when I don't know what's going on ahead of time, I begin to speculate. Now, you know what? I begin to worry a little bit. I begin to kind of think about that situation. But here's what I find, how God has worked as I've walked with him these years. And I believe God purposely withholds details. Why would he do that? Simply because he's wanting us to be in a position of total trust. He wants us to trust, total trust. See, if you have all the details, then maybe we get to thinking that we've got all this figured out and we don't need God. I don't need God. I want details. And often I don't get them. I was reading of a man. He was a Jesuit priest. His name is John Cavanaugh. And John Cavanaugh was doing kind of a situation in his life that he was trying to figure some things out for the rest of his life. And he decides to go to Calcutta, India, and spend some time with Mother Teresa. As he's there and he's just thinking some answers about his life, one day Mother Teresa asked him what she could do for him. Cavanaugh said, I just want you to pray for me. Of course. What do you want me to pray for? She asked. And here's what he said. He said, pray that I have clarity. Now here, let's pause for a moment. If you come up to me after the service and you say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I say, absolutely. What do you mean pray about? And you say, blah, 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 this. If it's not absolutely insane crazy. You know what I'm saying? We're going to pray right there. I'll pray for you. This sounds like a very legitimate prayer request. Pray that I have clarity. And you would think immediately, this woman of God who has spent all of her years there in the sewers and the gutters of Calcutta, India, taking care of some of the hardest people and some of the people that are in such need, would just had this such a compassionate heart. She'd say, absolutely, let me pray for you. But she says the most shocking thing that shocked him and maybe shocking to your ears, and she says, no. She says, no. He goes, why won't you pray for me like that? Pray for me. And she goes, I'm not going to do that. And then she said this. She said, clarity is the last thing you're clinging to and must let go of. And then she said, I have never had clarity, but I've always had trust. And she said, I'm going to pray that you trust God. You know what? I messed me up. Because you know why I had, after I read that story, I had to stop praying for clarity. Because that's my prayer. Do you know why? Because I am a clarity craver. How about you? I want clear direction. I want bells and whistles and lights and billboards this way. Don't you want that? I want that. But here's what I've found. The more I crave lights, bells, whistles, and billboards and pointer signs, you want, the more I'm looking for that, it puts my trust in God in jeopardy. Because that's all I'm looking for. And if I don't have that, then I'm just kind of like, I'm immobilized. And God's calling us to this element of trust. So basically, it comes down to this, is that what do we do when we are to obey the Lord, but we lack details? Well, we stop trying to get clarity, and we start trusting God completely. Wow. Makes you sit up a little bit, do a hard swallow, and think, wow, I don't know. That's where I believe God wants to be. I believe this is exactly where Elijah is. He has no details. He's trusting. He doesn't have a clear picture of his future. He doesn't know what that's going to be. But he's putting his trust into God and saying, God, I'm going to let you take care of this. These are consequences of yours. And I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 so much. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know what my own understanding is? Clarity. That's my understanding. When I try to lean on my understanding, I'm leaning on the clearness of the direction. And he says, but don't do that in all your ways. If you just acknowledge me, I'll make your path straight. Obey. Many years ago, there was a man. His name was R.S. Jones. He comes off the mission field. He'd been in the mission field in Brazil for many years, almost all of his life. As he comes home, he's having some health issues. He goes to see his doctor, and his doctor says, yeah, this is going on in your life right now, and I'm just going to tell you, you're not physically fit to go back to the mission field. Now, that was quite heartbreaking for this man who was just coming home for a brief respite and was going back to the place where he had invested so much of his life into a people and saw so many good results. And so out of that, he's just processing everything he needs to do as he comes back from this mission field. One day, he finds himself at a conference, and he's sitting down with a very good friend of his. And his friend, his name is B.B. McKinney. And B.B. McKinney is a songwriter, and they had just become close friends. And R.S. Jones is telling him about his dilemma, health issues, can't go back to Brazil, all this stuff. And McKinney looks at him. He says, well, tell me about your future plans. What are you going to do? To where Jones simply replied, he goes, I don't know. Then he said this. He said, but wherever he leads, I'll go. Now, that might resonate with you, with some, maybe with others. Remember, B.B. McKinney's a songwriter, and B.B. McKinney says, I kind of like that statement. And he goes immediately after that afternoon, and he writes a song. This is in 1936, so 85 years ago, a song was penned that many churches have sung over the years, and it's simply by that name, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. That's a song. It's in our hymn books. It's sung in many churches. Even today, it's still sung. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. You know, that's not just a great hymn for churches to sing today. Honestly, that was Elijah's song. That was what Elijah, you didn't know, he didn't know. You know what I'm saying? That was Elijah's song. No, that was Abraham's song. That was Peter's song. That is the song of millions of believers today. They are living out a truth about faithful obedience to the Lord. And God, whatever it may be, God, wherever you lead, whatever you ask, wherever you direct, however you call, I'm in on that. I want to be that kind of faithful person. That's faithful obedience. Let me ask you this morning that if we step aside, we're not going to do it, but if we just said, hey, we're going to sing that song this morning, I wonder if you started singing that song with us and you said, I know that tune. I remember singing that with my grandparents in my grandfather's church or whatever. Would you be singing truth? You know what? I have to caution myself a lot of times during worship times. As I really pay attention to words and what I'm singing, I'm saying, God, I don't want to sing a lie today. I don't want to sing something that's not true. Would you sing truth? Would there just be a handful of people in here singing that song, or could all of us say, yeah, God, wherever you lead, I want to go? Maybe that takes our worship to another level to say, I'm going to be careful about what I'm saying. Because actually, I believe we'll be held accountable for what we sing, what we say, all that kind of stuff. I would say for you today, be at a point in your life, and come to the point in your life and say, God, if you're leading me in a direction and wanting me to do something, right out of Scripture, I see it right there. God, I'm trusting that you're going to help me. I'm trusting that you're going to guide me, and I'm trusting you're going to be with me, and you're going to provide. The consequences are yours, and I'm good with that. I'm just trusting, though I have no details, that everything is right on. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Will that be for you? Would you pray with me? Now, Father, just a moment of where we get to do some introspection and say, just really, Father, I believe wave all over the room. There's different things just popping into all of our heads. Obedience things. Maybe some delayed things. Maybe some impartial, some partial things. Maybe some absolutely just deliberate heel digging things. You've brought those to mind. Father, may we take those seriously. May we take those before you. May we seek your forgiveness. And then say, okay, if this is what you're calling me to do, I'm obeying. Wherever you lead, I go. Thank you, Father, for the calling us to give us your best and calling us to trust more, walk closer with you. In Christ's name, amen. The very God that called Elijah into obedience and Elijah obeyed is the very God that is here in this, is with us this morning. And as we move forward into the New Testament, where Jesus becomes the very one who says, come to me, who are weary and heavy laden, where he says, where we understand about Jesus that it's, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. That is that very God that's here that wants a relationship with you, and he wants to come into your life this morning. And would you give him that opportunity to speak truth into you, to forgive you of your sins, and set up your eternity forever? He's here this morning. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Encouragers will be standing here this morning ready to receive you, to pray with you, to talk with you, to encourage you, to help you. Maybe there's other things going on. You're a child of God. You're saved. Have you been baptized? Is your baptism on the right side of your salvation? It always happens after. How about anything else? Serving, giving, leading, going, whatever God may be calling you to do. We have encouragers here. I want to pray with you. The connection card is a great way to get information back to us so that we can connect with you this week and sit down and have a one-on-one conversation. Well, now, what do you do as a faithful obeyer in what God's called you to do? Stand with me, please. We're going to dismiss. I'm going to be out at the meet and greet area. I have a gift for our guests. Come by and introduce yourself. Look forward to seeing you next week. Next week, if you don't think God's made any sense yet, we're going to look next week. And actually, faithful when God doesn't make sense. There's times when God just doesn't make any sense. We're going to look at that next weekend. Bring someone with you. They need to hear that as well. Thank you, Father. As we go, we are your ambassadors. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.